Bonjour, good morning. My name is Rosie Goldstein. I'm the Vice Principal of Research and International Relations here at McGill. And it's my distinct honor to welcome you to McGill University in this beautiful atrium for this exciting announcement of the 2012 Networks of Centers of Excellence competition results. Institué en 1989, quand j'étais très jeune, le programme de réseau de centres d'excellence mobilise les meilleurs chercheurs canadiens du milieu universitaire et des secteurs privés et publics afin de développer l'économie et d'améliorer la qualité de vie des Canadiens. Vous entendrez parler aujourd'hui de chercheurs qui s'emploient à trouver des solutions à des problèmes épineux qui touchent des collectivités du pays. It's my great privilege to introduce the Honorable Gary Goodyear, Minister of State for Science and Technology, who will share all the exciting details with you shortly. Since 2004, Dr. Goodyear has served as a Member of Parliament for the constituency of Cambridge North Dumfries. He was appointed by Prime Minister Stephen Harper, Minister of State for Science and Technology in 2008, and he was reappointed again to this position this last May. Prior to entering federal politics, Minister Goodyear practiced chiropractic medicine and worked as an advisor to investment firms in the biomedical industry. Please join me in welcoming Minister Goodyear.
Thank you very much, Rosie. Good morning. Bonjour, merci beaucoup. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming out this morning. I'm very excited to be here at McGill. C'est un plaisir d'être avec vous ce matin. Not only am I excited to be at McGill this morning, it's great to be back in Montreal. And it's great to be here to bring what I believe is a very positive and exciting announcement to further support our researchers and scientists across Canada, which is, as you know, a great priority for the federal government. Improving health care, sustaining the environment, and managing natural resources are three of a number of priorities that we have as Canadians, but these are significant ones indeed. The Harper government, as you know, is committed to creating jobs and continuing to improve our economy and growing our economy, as well as looking forward to long-term prosperity. Focusing research investments on these areas will help build a more sustainable and better quality future for all Canadians. Ladies and gentlemen, 2009, our government, as you also know, introduced the Economic Action Plan to respond to a significant global recession. The good news is that since July of that year, employment has increased in our nation by some 750,000 jobs, and that is now some 320,000 jobs more than the pre-recession levels. Very excited to say that that is the strongest job growth among the G7 countries over this recovery period. This is very good news for our nation, and I want to thank all of you for your part in implementing the economic action plans through our various investments, particularly through the Knowledge Infrastructure Program and providing new buildings for our universities and colleges and so on. But that said, we cannot rest at this point. Despite a very successful record, despite some significant job creations, what we have is too many Canadians still unemployed and looking for work. So that's exactly why we recently announced the next phase of Economic Action Plan, which is, of course, Budget 2012. This budget focuses, again, on the drivers of economic growth, on job creation, which are indeed research, innovation, investments for business, education, skills and talents, and healthy communities. These are what underpin our ongoing commitments, as well as our previous measures to keep taxes low and return to a balanced budget over the medium term. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited that three new networks being announced today are the result of the most recent competition of the Networks of Centers of Excellence programs. These will play an important role in mobilizing the best research talent to tackle complex scientific issues. With support from this program, Our Canadian academic communities work with Canadian and international partners in the private, public, and not-for-profit sectors to expand the global knowledge frontier. The new networks that we are announcing today focus on three of the four strategic research priorities identified by the Federal Science and Technology Strategy, which Prime Minister Harper launched in 2007. The three areas we're looking at today are environmental sciences and technologies, natural resources and energy, and health and related science and technologies. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. It gives me great pleasure to announce today that our government is investing a total of $73.8 million over the next 5 years to fund three new networks. Please hold your applause until I read what they are. First, the Marine Environmental Observation, Prediction, and Response Network based at Dalhousie University, which will receive $25 million over the next 5 years. The second is the Technology Evaluation in the Elderly Network, based at Queen's University, which will receive $23.9 million, and the Biofuel Net based here at McGill University, which will receive $24.9 million. Congratulations to these three teams. This is gold medal research at its best. Now, based on McGill, the goal of the Biofuel Net, headed by Scientific Director Dr. Donald Smith, who I had a chance to talk to this morning, is to significantly expand the Canadian energy sector's use of products derived from renewable biomass sources. Biomass is a renewable energy source derived from living organisms that can be converted into other energy products such as biofuels. And research, ladies and gentlemen, in this area is vital to our future and our environment and our economics. Folks, for more than 20 years, the NCE program has successfully brought together the very best minds in research from many disciplines and many sectors, in fact, to find solutions to issues that are critical for Canadians. Promoting world-class research excellence and nurturing partnerships will help Canada remain competitive in the new global economy and ensure not only future wealth, but also future well-being for Canadians. I want to congratulate NSERC and their team, the selection committee, for its work, but I especially want to congratulate Dr. Smith, his team, and the other teams at Dalhousie and Queen's. Good for you. I wish you all the very best of success as you ramp up your efforts. And, of course, I look forward to hearing about your progress in the near future. Congratulations, and thank you for your dedication.
Thank you very much, Minister Goodyear. And I know I speak for on behalf of the McGill community and also the NC winners and their communities that we deeply appreciate this announcement, and we also deeply appreciate you taking the time to make today's announcement personally here today. Je vous invite maintenant à accueillir Madame Suzanne Fauchet, présidente du Conseil de recherche en sciences naturelles et en génie du Canada et présidente du comité de direction des RCE. Avant d'être nommée à ce poste, Mme Fauchet a assumé maintes fonctions de cadre en recherche et en administration à l'Université Queen's. Elle a plus récemment été vice-principale et faire universitaire de 2000 à 2005. Mme Fauchet est cristallographe de formation diplômée de McGill dans l'élaboration de méthodologies recourant aux mathématiques et à l'intelligence artificielle pour déterminer la structure des protéines. Please welcome Dr. Fauchet.
Merci, Rosie. Monsieur le ministre, monsieur le chancelier, madame la rectrice, chers collègues et amis, c'est vraiment un énorme plaisir d'être ici aujourd'hui pour souhaiter la bienvenue à trois nouveaux membres de la famille des réseaux des centres d'excellence. It is such a thrill to be here on this gorgeous day in Montreal. returning home because, as Rosie said, I'm a graduate of McGill and I've spent many, many wonderful years in this great university. And in particular, to be here for a celebration of our three new members of the Networks of Centers of Excellence. I think all of you know that the NCE program has a tremendous track record in supporting nationwide partnerships of our top researchers and our top organizations to conduct and mobilize research in an area that has enormous importance for our country. When the model was first adopted almost 25 years ago, it truly was a Canadian innovation. And it was an innovation made in Canada because we realized that with our vast geography, we needed to find ways to connect people and create the critical mass that is necessary to be at the top of our game internationally. You won't be surprised to hear that since then, many other countries have copied us, and we're very, very proud of that. Now, let me tell you, it is not easy to become a network of centers of excellence. And it's not because of anything that we do. In fact, we love our centers, but it's because it's an enormously tough competition. Very, very difficult competition, an enormously rigorous expert review system, process that has several layers. So it's a very, very difficult competition. In my job, I have the privilege of following the applicants through this process. The privilege of seeing the enormous amount of talent we have in this country, the leadership in research, the great students that will be participating in these networks, and of course, the partners that are contributing to the success of our networks. It's truly a privilege to see that talent and the accomplishments of the people who come forward with their submission, and also a privilege to see the enormous amount of work that they do to get to where they are. Now, you won't be surprised to know that the three networks that are being celebrated today have met the bar of excellence. They've met the bar of excellence in many areas. Not only, of course, they have to meet the bar of excellence in their research accomplishments, but they also have to meet the bar of excellence in the training of highly qualified people, the bar of excellence in the strength of the partnerships that they can establish, and also in the feasibility of their plans to transfer knowledge and technology to society and to end users. Now, their accomplishments was well recognized by all of those who were involved in the process, and I'll just mention a few small things that were said by these experts. They noted that the Marine Environment Observation Prediction and Response Network will multiply, and that's an important verb here, multiply the impact of Canada's existing strengths in oceanography and marine assessments. The technology evaluation in the elderly network brings together a group of people with very impressive track records in research and policy to focus on a very important issue, not only for us in Canada, but around the world. And the biofuel network will help integrate the many research and commercialization efforts across the country and help generate biofuels jobs in many, many communities in our country, all across the country, large and small communities. And we all know how important that is for our future. Now, Minister Goodyear has already acknowledged and congratulated the scientific directors of this network. And I'd like to do that as well. My job is to congratulate them, but also to remind them that they have an enormous responsibility. But they've already demonstrated to us that they can take on that responsibility, and we know we can count on you. So here are, again, the people who have put so much work already to make this happen, and we know we'll continue to do so. Douglas Wallace and Dalhousie University for the Marine Environmental Observation, Prediction, and Response Network. Darren Halen and Queen's University for the Technology Evaluation in the Elderly Network. And Donald Smith and McGill University for the Biofuel Net. I'm recognizing the director, the scientific director, but also their institutions, because They know and we know that they can't do their jobs without the support of their institution. And again, the institutions have already demonstrated that they're there with them to make this a huge success. Alors, encore une fois, j'ai le grand plaisir de me joindre au ministre Goodyear pour féliciter non seulement les directeurs scientifiques, mais les nombreux chercheurs et partenaires qui ont travaillé très, très fort ensemble afin d'établir l'orientation et la structure de ce réseau. Je tiens à vous dire que vous n'êtes pas seul. Vous pouvez compter sur le secrétariat des réseaux des centres d'excellence, les trois conseils subventionnaires, et évidemment vos institutions, ainsi que tous les autres réseaux qui sont déjà sur place pour vous aider à vous établir et à rencontrer le succès que vous méritez. Nous avons très, très hâte de travailler avec vous. Vous pouvez compter sur notre support et félicitations. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, Suzanne. We are very honored by your presence also that you came to be here personally with us today, and thank you very much for being with us today. It's now my pleasure to introduce our principal and vice chancellor, Heather Monroe Bloom, who will deliver a few words on behalf of McGill University.
Thank you very much, Dr. Goldstein, Minister Goodyear, Dr. Forche, Chancellor Steinberg, dear colleagues and friends. Quel plaisir, quel événement mémorable pour nous tous, pour le Canada, et pour notre entreprise scientifique. This is a wonderful day, and I'm standing now between you and hearing from our wonderful scientific leaders. So I'm going to be very short in offering, first of all, my great appreciation and thanks to our scientific directors. I have an inkling of the extraordinary work that's gone behind what you've done, Professors Wallace, Haaland, and Smith. We are, of course, delighted at McGill to have one of these centers, and Minister Goodyear, you have been just unflagging in your support for the kind of substantial and creative investment in science and in talent and in the capacity for Canada to compete with the best on the world stage. And so thank you, and I know my colleagues join with me in thanking you for your leadership here. Madame Fortier, comme nous connaissons, vous êtes une diplômée distinguée de McGill, une leader canadienne formidable, and merci pour tous vos efforts. You've been wonderful in leading NSERC and in bringing a program, the Network of Centers of Excellence program, which, as you said, is a quarter of a century old, through a really developmental stage that I remember back in 94 began with bumps and fits and starts and has grown into a program which truly is being replicated by peer countries in the world. And it may have been founded out of the need to bring our vast geography together, but it has come to represent a model of government, university, scientific, industry collaboration, community collaboration, that is the new model for the global economy, for global science, and for human impact. So it's fantastic. We celebrate this here today. I just want to thank, you'll allow me to be parochial for a moment, because I recognize the enormous strength of science across the country, the wonderful institutions beyond the three represented in these three new networks of centers of excellence. But if I could just speak as an example locally to Professor Don Smith, to you and your team, to Vice Principal Goldstein, for the leadership that you're giving as Vice Principal for Research. Don, I do know the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into getting this program to where it is. We lived through the remarkable international review that was put together by the NCE program, Dr. Fortier, under you. And how many people, Minister, I don't think you could begin to imagine literally an army, a team of extraordinary dimension and diversity, and the commonality is the strength and commitment to create this one center, and you see it in all three. So Professor Smith, congratulations, and thank you to you. We're very, very proud. And as a last note, I just wanted to say that our new network of centers of excellence that McGill will be hosting, of course, supporting a broad national network of science, will be located down in our new, newly developing Cartier Innovation, a very unique collaboration between McGill and École Technologie Supérieure, an engineering monodiscipline institution, very technically focused, that is aiming to build in that area of Montreal down at the port a whole new ecosystem of science, social development, and economic development, and I think this will be an enormous engine in that regard. Merci à vous tous pour être ici aujourd'hui pour célébrer avec nous cet moment extraordinaire. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madame Principal. And as Heather said, I now have the great pleasure to introduce you to what I call the fun part. I am going to introduce you to three very happy researchers, one at a time, the scientific directors of the new National Centers of Excellence. So first, I'd like to welcome and invite Dr. Darren Haaland from the Technology Evaluation and the Elderly Network based at Queen's University to the podium. Dr. Haaland.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be a part of this announcement. We're grateful to the government and to the NCE program for giving us this opportunity to make a difference in the lives and in the death experience of severely ill elderly Canadians. As a critical care physician, I've seen firsthand how we can use technology to save lives. However, at some time, in some conditions, it's also led to the inappropriate use of the technology that has only prolonged the dying experience for sick elderly Canadians, adding to their suffering, increasing distress amongst healthcare professionals, and a waste of healthcare precious resources. Unfortunately, there's considerable uncertainty about the risk-benefit ratio of technologies in the elderly population because they're systematically excluded from clinical trials, from clinical research. Thus, we have a tremendous opportunity to increase our knowledge about technologies in this population and translate it to the bedside of sick elderly patients and impact their outcomes. The mission of TechValue, therefore, is to improve the care of seriously elderly Canadians and their families through the development and rigorous evaluation and ethical implementation of healthcare technologies. By technologies, we have a very broad definition that includes typical drugs and devices, but also encompasses any knowledge product, any tool, any strategy used in the diagnosis, management, or palliation of seriously ill elderly patients. Perhaps we differentiate ourselves from other groups doing research in aging because of the nature of the population that we serve, the sickest of elderly patients, and by the nature of the technologies that we propose to evaluate, from basic life-sustaining nutrition to the more advanced forms of technology such as mechanical ventilation or breathing machines that you may see used in intensive care units around the country. Our vision is to build an internationally recognized research network in technology evaluation in this elderly population. To accomplish this vision, we've collaborated with over 40 researchers from coast to coast involving more than 20 institutional partners and numerous partners from industry. With the financial support of the NCE and our partners, we can work together through this network to provide better healthcare to aging population and greater efficiencies to our healthcare system. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Dr. Haaland. I now want to introduce and ask Dr. Douglas Wallace from the Marine Environmental Observation, Prediction, and Response Network, which I fondly call MEOPAR, at Dalhousie, to say a few words.
Thank you very much. One thing that you know and recognize when you live in the Maritimes in Nova Scotia is that this country has a tremendous amount of oceanfront real estate. And when you look back, it's also clear that it's on three oceans, but when you look back, it's clear also that Canada's relationship with the ocean has been instrumental to its development as a nation and also to its economy. And there are really strong indications that in common with many countries in the world, this importance of this relationship is growing as we move into the future. Now, like most relationships, it's had its ups and downs. And that's because Canada's ocean environment is both beautiful, it's powerful, and it's full of promise, even riches. But it also can be dangerous, it can be threatening, it can be capricious. And increasingly, and this is relatively new, it can be threatened by us. So it's this relationship and its potential and its risks, which is at the heart of our network. The network's really timely because two things are going on at the same time. Canada, and it's again common across the world, is seeing enormous changes in the economic uses of the ocean. That could be cruise ships in the Northwest Passage, could be renewable energies, Canadian companies exploring the deep sea for minerals, bulk carriers in Baffin Bay year-round, or big ports, larger vessels. The list goes on and on and on. And at the same time, the oceans themselves are changing rapidly. And this is obvious to, in some cases it's obvious, in the Arctic Ocean, with the disappearance of ice, it's obvious. But this also, more subtle, sometimes less obvious change, warming of the oceans, sea level rise, acidification of the oceans going on, that's a chemical change to the oceans, and the possibility of changes in extremes. And it's the extremes, as all of us know, the so-called black swans, which are the things that we are concerned about. It's the confluence of these changes, our economic uses of the ocean and the changing ocean itself, which means that Canada, in the next decades, will be facing different patterns of risk, and also sometimes fundamentally new risks, fundamentally new hazards that it hasn't experienced before. Now, are we prepared? Well, fortunately, well, unfortunately, but that question hasn't been addressed in Canada yet, but Deepwater Horizon and Fukushima are indications that we're not completely prepared. And these could be considered as icons, or even in the future, they might be looked back on as icons or warning signals for this century, similar to what we've just remembered, the Titanic disaster of the last century. So our network believes that the appropriate response to these changes and also some of these warning signals is to use science as a basis to anticipate and prepare. So Canada's really fortunate in this respect to have world-leading research capacity within its government, Department of Fisheries and Oceans, Environment Canada, Defence Research and Development Canada, and other agencies. There's vast expertise across the country from coast to coast, and there's a thriving and very forward-looking ocean-related industry that can be of immense value in understanding and preparing for changes in our ocean and the hazards we've encountered there. And that, for example, in our network includes our partnership with the Irving Shipbuilding Incorporated, who just recently received a very large award from the Government of Canada for building the next generation of ships for the Navy. So there are also knowledgeable and very concerned and useful communities and NGOs across the country. So this network funding from the Government of Canada, from the people of Canada, gives us the opportunity to put this science capacity together with industry and with communities so that we can enjoy the beauty, the promise, the power, and the economic benefits of the ocean safely and responsibly far into the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Wallace. Thank you, Dr. Wallace. And finally, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our very own, McGill's own, Dr. Don Smith, to talk about BioFuelNet Canada. I wanted to mention that this project has its roots in McDonnell Campus at St. Anne de Bellevue. And as Heather mentioned, the offices of the network will be part of the early McGill's presence in the new Cartier d'Innovation in Griffintown, Montreal. So welcome, Don.
For starters, Mr. Goodyear, Suzanne Fortier, distinguished colleagues, I must say I'm extremely happy to be here. And As to biofuel net, I just want to say that, well, industrial age, the last 200 years roughly, we've done some amazing things. We've built some huge cities. We have increased our food production and our medical understanding enormously, which has allowed us to expand our population from probably about 500 million 200 years ago to about 7 billion now, which brings some challenges with it. This growth and these enhancements of our culture have been based largely on an abundant and inexpensive fuel supply. Peak oil is probably with us now, and we're likely to reach maximum extraction of a number of the other hydrocarbons or fossil fuels over the coming decades. So there is a concern out there. At the same time, we're looking at some of the concerning environmental effects that go with dependence on fossil fuels. We really need at this time to look towards other sources of energy. We need to find some renewable fuels that are available to us and can be exploited over the long term in an environmentally consistent fashion. One of these, obviously, is biofuels, and in our case, we're specifically looking at potentially at biofuels that do not compete with food. Biofuel Net Canada is our response to this. This is hosted at McGill, but includes about 20 of the country's top universities, over 80 of the country's top biofuels researchers, 40 industrial partners, and over 100 partners overall, including a wide range of international partners. It's organized across the three process or value chain themes. So we start with feedstocks, where do we get our biomass, we look at conversion into fuels, and finally utilization. But also contains a theme we refer to as SEAS, which stands for social, economic, and environmental sustainability, and this informs all other parts of the activities. We also have four regional platforms that keeps it grounded in the country's various feedstock and economic environments. So we have a platform in the West, a platform on the prairies. David Levin is here with us today for the Prairie Group. We have a platform in Ontario and a platform in the East. And I guess overall we have to say that given our small population here in Canada, relatively small, and our large abundance of non-food biomass, our large resource in this area, it's conceivable that within about a decade, Biofuel Net Canada, with its collective expertise and effort, could allow our country to be deriving a significant slice of its fuel requirements from this renewable and sustainable resource. And I think that the goal of our network is to ensure that that happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. And again, I want to congratulate all the new NCEs, their directors, their colleagues. As Don mentioned, the partners, both universities and private partners, corporations. Some of you are here today. I'm not going to risk listing for fear of leaving someone out. But although we congratulate the NC host institutions, those three, we have to recognize that these are networks, and we want to welcome and congratulate all of our partners today as well, university and industry. I also want to mention, because many of them are here, again, I won't list their names, their tremendous effort. Our principal alluded to that, and many of my office staff are here today. So my personal thanks to you for all the support you gave to Don and his team. But I know also on behalf of the NC directors, I'll take the liberty to assume that you also have such offices that supported you and your colleagues. And I know you would share with me the thanking them on this occasion as well. Without them, I don't think anybody here, I would certainly not be standing here. So in closing, I want to thank Minister Goodyear and Madame Forche for the announcement and also for being here with us. Also Chancellor Steinberg, my colleague, Provost Tony Massey, and Dean Madramutu, who is the Dean of Don's Faculty, the Faculty of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences on our McDonald campus, for your personal support and also that of your colleagues in the faculty. We appreciate all of that. I want to acknowledge the Government of Canada and the NC program for your enormous support, and with that, we will close this announcement. For the media, I do have a few business announcements. For the media, the podium party will now be available to answer your questions, and Brent is putting his hand up to then go to the back to the MRO staff who will assist you and find you the right locations and the right people to speak to. I invite everyone to stay to enjoy some refreshments and celebrate the announcements of these three NCs. Thank you very much.